malcolm.boyden@bbc.co.uk. So, as a pop video pioneer, he worked with the creme de la creme, Paul McCartney. I'll give you Queen, Freddie Mercury. I'll throw in Elton John, I'll toss in David Bowie and a bit of Blondie as well. He's a worldwide expert on digital imaging, photography and cinematography. I'm going to make him blush now. He was demonstrating Photoshop on the telly before any of us had ever heard of it on the Richard and Judy show. He's John Henshall, and he lives in Stanford in the Vale, and he's my special guest this Friday morning. And he's got a Blue Peter badge on his lapel, and he once blew up Margaret Thatcher's head. Hello, John.
Shall I go now, Malcolm?
No. You'll stay exactly where you are. I think you're great. What did you get the Blue Peter badge for?
Special services to Valerie Singleton.
Really? You know, say no more.
Can't say too much about it.
No, you've said enough already, I would imagine. Let's start with the pop videos. If you look on your website, there are... Well, it is the creme de la creme of the pop world, isn't it? How did you get into the pop videos?
I left the BBC in 1976.
Yeah.
I ran a special effects company doing optical effects, which were hired out by things like Top of the Pops, all kinds of shows. And ITV discovered them, we rented them out, and then the world discovered them, and we sold them worldwide. So I left to run that, and to lecture at a college.
Yes.
And I went to ITN one night, because they had two studios. They had a standby studio, Studio 2, and they rented that out for doing very early pop videos. And there was a guy there called Keith McMillan, and I went to pick up my effects one night, and he was the only person left there, and we went and had a drink, and he said, you know, how did you get into this? This is a really... I said, well, my ticket, union ticket, is as director of photography. And so he then phoned me up and said, can you light something? And so that's the way I started.
Yeah.
So I started with a Brian Ferry one, and then the next one was Kate Bush.
You was asked to light Brian Ferry. That, can you light something, was Brian Ferry. You went on to Kate Bush, and
Kate
then...
Kate Bush.
I like the way you say that.
Well...
and then, I mean, everything from Cliff Richard, Queen, Marshall Hayne, Dancing in the City...
Oh, yeah.
Bum Bum, alleys that we run through. Something's Cooking in the Kitchen, Dana. He's responsible for that. It's John. Tell me about some of the greats. I mean, Paul McCartney... it doesn't get any better than
Paul McCartney?
Yeah.
I'd arranged to go away on holiday. Got a call from Keith McMillan. Are you free? No, going on holiday. No, you're not now. where are we going to? We're going to the Mull of Kintyre. Oh, I said, there's been a song about that recently, hasn't there? He said, yeah. I said, what are we doing? He said, can't say.
Oh.
So eventually we went there. Private plane from Glasgow Airport to film Paul McCartney doing his only flop, or non-top 10 hit, called I've Had Enough, which we filmed in his cowshed in his farm on Kintyre, Campbelltown. It was really quite something.
Yes.
Worked with Linda. That was very interesting.
Yeah.
Because she came across as quite gruff, but in actual fact, she was a really, really nice person.
I bet she was.
And also a fellow photographer.
Oh, yes.
And I remember being very close to her, looking at her, and she said, why are you looking at me like that? I said, well, I've never seen you look as good on TV as you look in real life, but on this one, you're going to look really good. And I said to my sparks, you know, bring that one round, a little more off the hair, a little bit of 152 pale gold gel underneath. And so, of course, when she was on camera, she felt she was in safe hands, so she smiled.
Aww.
And that's what did it. So we had a great time doing that.
Give me Freddie Mercury while we're at it.
Freddie Mercury,
yeah.
Only once,
yes.
And that was for a documentary. And we also filmed them doing the soundtrack of Flash Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
in a sound recording studio. It's quite amazing. That got me a lot of work, but indirectly, because part of it was that we had Janetta Charles, the Queen double, in the Royal Box at the Theatre Royal, Drury Lane. And I got one of my electricians to take a picture of me with my exposure meter in front of Janetta Charles. And some Americans came over to interview me for doing something for the States, and they wanted to see all my show reels, you know, and they were really pretty uptight about it. But then while we were talking in my office, I could see them looking on the walls at the pictures of all the people. And one of these guys said, Jan, tell me, when did you work with Her Highness? And I got the job without showing the showreel.
And you mentioned working at BBC Television Centre, 1961 to 1976. Where's it gone? Ah, here it is. I almost lost your most prized possession, or one of them. He's given me this. It's a picture parade sort of rundown, if you like. Picture Parade was a television show, was it?
Yeah, that's the front page of the script.
OK. And it is signed by Bob Hope and Bing Crosby.
Yeah, both together, would you believe it?
Wow, it's going to be worth a fortune.
6 weeks after I started work for the BBC,
yes,
I've got Bob Hope and Bing Crosby in the studio. Unbelievable. My Auntie May worked in a record shop, and she just loved Bing Crosby. And I've still got the 78 records of Swinging on a Star, Going My Way, that she gave to me. And I couldn't even ring her. Well, partly because she didn't have a phone, but my mother, who lived close by, had a phone. But I couldn't even ring my mother because there was no STD. You had to do it through the BBC operator, and it cost you 6 and 8 pence, 33 pence, deducted out of your salary. So we're working with Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. From the sticks, from Stockport, down to the Big Smoke, and suddenly we're working with these international stars. But if you look on there, it says that hospitality in sixth floor.
Yeah, I see that.
They didn't go to the sixth floor.
No.
They came and had a cup of tea with the crew in the camera store. Can you believe it? Bob Hope and Bing Crosby just chatting to us there in the camera store.
Drinking
it was an
tea.
Amazing start to my career.
Drinking tea with Bob Hope
and
Bing Crosby.
And I did the unforgivable.
What's
got
that?
Him to sign the script.
I'll give you a tenner for it. I'm going to give it back, seriously, because that's very valuable. I mean, photography is your life. You've toured the world taking pictures. You were on the Richard and Judy show telling us about this fandangled gimmick called Photoshop when the rest of us were just sending our pictures off to have them developed. You knew this was going to take over the world, did you, Photoshop? This was going to transform photography even back then?
Yeah, I used to daydream, thinking. I was a projectionist in a cinema when I was 13, part-time, school. And I used to think, wow, it's television. I mean, television, my introduction to TV was, I was about 8 years old. I was invited to tea at a friend's house. And after tea, they put the lights off, and there's this box with full of equipment and glowing valves, orange with blue flashing lights, and this little screen, and on it came a picture. And it was a picture of a woman at a grand piano with a puppet horse dancing on it. And I'd never seen anything like this. Muffin the Mule,
yeah.
Annette Mills, John Mills' sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I went home to my parents afterwards, and my dad said, well, that sounds like this new television, but it doesn't exist up here. We lived in Wakefield then, and my friend's grandfather was an inventor, and they had this massive aerial on the roof, and they lived at the top of the council estate that we lived in, so they were high up. And they got the picture from the Sutton Coalfield transmitter, which I think opened up in 1949, and we didn't get it there at Home Moss until 1951. And so that got me really interested in television from early days, and my auntie got a TV. And, you know, as a family, we went from Wakefield over to Stockport, the whole family, to watch the coronation. 12 of us watched it on a 12-inch screen in black and white.
So you're always going to be working in this.
And so I just had to work in television.
It was then he was hooked while watching Muffin the Mule, Annette Mills and the coronation on a small black and white. John will speak to you more in a few moments' time. We'll also ask how, in fact, he was part of the team that blew up Margaret Thatcher's head. John Henshaw is our special guest. He's from Stanford in the Vale. He tours the world with his camera, amongst other things, of course. 10:17. Just having my photo taken, of course, by the master of photography. He's John Henshaw. He's from Stanford in the Vale. He's taken photographs of, well, virtually everyone. You name them, from Harry Secombe to Freddie Mercury. He's responsible for the Boomtown Rats, Rat Trap. He was on that pop video. Cliff Richard, Marshall Hayne, even Dana, Something's Cooking in the Kitchen. Cliff Richard, he was okay, wasn't he? Or was he?
Yeah, very good. Except I gave him a pink rinse on the lighting. I don't think that was particularly good.
Oh, dear, he gave Cliff Richard a pink rinse. You were always going to be in television. You told us that story. You were hooked from the moment you saw a flickering image on a screen, John. But tell me about this Adobe Photoshop. I mean, you were, as I said before, you were on the telly before anyone had ever heard of it, knowing almost that it was going to transform your work, your life.
Using Adobe Photoshop, I got rid of the bridegroom from a wedding photograph after the divorce because the bride liked the dress she was wearing and wanted a picture of her on her own. And for some reason, this hit the newspapers, Daily Mail.
Yeah, no, none of us had heard of it, really, Photoshop time. Right.
No. So I went up to Liverpool and I was live on the Richard and Judy show. And their weatherman I made into a Chippendale, which they loved. Uh-huh. I mean, Richard and Judy were fantastic. They asked all the right questions. And we did it live with... And now you could do it on a laptop, but then it was lots of computer equipment, printers and things like that.
So you really are a pioneer of your trade, a master of photography. He's just taken my photograph. I shall look forward to seeing that. You travel the world now, don't you, taking photographs for travel brochures, travel books, yeah?
Yeah, I just enjoy myself. Travelling, photographing. They're in a picture library down the road at Didblot. Oh, Didcot. Didblot because of the power station.
Yes, of course.
Milton Park, actually. Yeah. There's a picture library there, an online picture library with over 20 million pictures, and they very kindly sell them, and they go for travel brochures and things like that. So I love going to China, meeting Chinese people. They're unbelievable. First time I went, I thought they were all nasty, dark communists, but in actual fact, they're the biggest capitalists I've ever met, and they work like you wouldn't believe, and they're very friendly.
And you like passing your experience on as well. You like lecturing, you like talking.
I do indeed. In fact, I'm giving a lecture to Wantage Camera Club, 12th of May. Come along. Just Google for Wantage Camera Club, and it's John Henshall Uncensored. Not censored with a C, but with an S. Sensor in the camera. Get it?
I get it.
50 years of electronic and digital imaging, because this is my 50th year since I joined the BBC.
Is there any photo you wish you would have taken, but you didn't?
Lots. Always after
anything
the event.
You almost missed.
I've just been to Georgia to judge at a TV festival, and they're very religious. And every time they pass a church, they cross themselves three times, holding the three fingers together. And I was in a bus, and everybody did it in unison in this bus, which was raked up. And I hadn't got the courage to pick up the camera and photograph it, and I wish I had. Great shot.
And how did you blow up Margaret Thatcher's head?
I didn't. I was just part of the team.
Yes.
Spitting image.
It wasn't him, Gov. I mean, he's taken photographs of Elton John, he's a knight. Paul McCartney, he's a knight. Bob Geldof, he's a knight. The only reason he didn't get a knighthood is because he was in the team that blew up Margaret Thatcher in Spitting Image. That's the truth. What was Spitting Image like to work on?
Unbelievable.
Was it?
It was really unbelievable. I mean, I remember once, I think it was Bernard Ingham, or her press secretary, complaining about the way she'd been treated in the show. And so what they did was, the next week, she wasn't in the show at all. They didn't mention her.
Really?
And I think it's even worse not to be mentioned in a show like that than actually to be lampooned. But fantastic team. Great to be a part of.
You've had a wonderful career, but your game photography has changed so much. What are the glory years? Are they the first years at BBC Television Centre when perhaps you really were making magic? Have they been the years of the pop videos, the years behind the camera at Top of the Pops? Have they been the years later when you enjoy yourself travelling the world, taking great pictures? What's the best time? What have the best times been for you?
They're all the best times.
Are they?
Yeah, they're all different. And I've not had a great career. I'm still having that great career.
Good for
I'm
you.
Loving it. I mean, when I started doing music videos, Kate Bush, it was quite a lot different than the BBC. We had complete creative freedom. We could do whatever we wanted. We got a piece of Man with a Child in His Eyes. Believe it or not, I turned down Wuthering Heights. I'd never heard of Kate Bush, and I was lecturing that day. But after that, I did Wuthering Heights. Mm-hmm. We actually sat her on a piece of 8 foot by 6 foot, 1 inch thick Perspex, cost £400, and I lit her from underneath. And I made my special effects company the fog filters, which gave this sort of mysterious halo, so she was floating on a cloud. We could do anything we wanted, and working with this guy Keith McMillan was so creative, an ex-photographer himself, that we just had a ball and we did whatever we wanted to.
Good. Top of the Pops, there must have been hairy times at the start, were they?
Yeah, they were. I mean, it was done in Manchester to start with, and then it came to London, and my crew was allocated it, working with Johnny Stewart, who invented it. And, we worked with everybody, except the Beatles. They were never on Top of the Pops, but the Rolling Stones were on it, for example. You name it, they were all on it.
It's great, the stories you tell. You have stories, of course, you can't tell.
Quite a few.
I would imagine.
They might be in the book.
Yeah. Well, I'm waiting for that book. I'm waiting to see how my picture turns out as well, because while you were listening to Crowded House, he was snapping away here, and I'm glad he is as well. He is the master of the lens. He's worldwide renowned in digital imaging. He's an expert in photography and cinematography. He's done the lot in terms of taking pictures and capturing them on film, and he's one of us. He's from Oxfordshire. He's John Henshall, and it's been lovely meeting you today. Have I given you back Bing Crosby's autograph?
Oh, you have indeed. Thank you, Martin.
At last. I was hoping to get away with it. Lovely meeting you, John.
Thank you very much.
We'll talk again. What a character. 10:28.
BBC Radio Oxford.
John has been a, well, master of the lens today. Did you hear him at 10 o'clock, the pop video pioneer? Whether it be the moving image, the digital image or the still image, he is a master and he lives in Oxfordshire. And that's why we're asking you today, you've got an hour to impress me. Who have you had your photograph taken? It's the Eurythmics. Quarter to one. Sweet dreams are made of this. My guest today at 10 o'clock was John Henshall. Did you hear him? He's a pioneering cameraman, photographer as well. He lives in Stanford in the Vale. As a pop video pioneer, he's worked with the creme de la creme. For example, Paul McCartney, Queen, Elton John, David Bowie and Blondie. He told me about his first brush with the very famous.
6 weeks after I started work for the BBC,
yes,
I've got Bob Hope and Bing Crosby in the studio. Unbelievable. My Auntie May worked in a record shop and she just loved Bing Crosby. And I've still got the 78 records of Swinging on a Star, Going My Way, that she gave to me. And I couldn't even ring her. Well, partly because she didn't have a phone, but my mother, who lived close by, had a phone. But I couldn't even ring my mother because there was no SDD. You had to do it through the BBC operator and it cost you 6 and 8 pence, 33 pence, deducted out of your salary. So we're working with Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. From the sticks, from Stockport down to the Big Smoke, and suddenly we're working with these international stars. But if you look on there, it says that hospitality in sixth floor.
Yeah, I see that.
They didn't go to the sixth floor.
No.
They came and had a cup of tea with the crew in the camera store. Can you believe it? Bob Hope and Bing Crosby just chatting to us there in the camera store.
Drinking
it was an amazing start to my career.
Drinking tea with the crew. What about that, Bob Hope and Bing Crosby? That's how it all started, as I say. He became a pop video pioneer after a spell on Top of the Pops. He's worked with them all, the creme de la creme, the Freddie Mercury's, the David Bowie's and the Queen's, and of course Kate Bush as well.
Man with a Child in His Eyes. Believe it or not, I turned down Wuthering Heights. I'd never heard of Kate Bush and I was lecturing that day. Mm-hmm. We actually sat her on a piece of 8 foot by 6 foot, 1 inch thick Perspex, cost £400, and I lit her from underneath. And I made, my special effects company, the fog filters which gave this sort of mysterious halo. So she was floating on a cloud. We could do anything we wanted.
But you see, John has also been a pioneer of digital photography. He was learning to use and demonstrating on television, the Richard and Judy show, to us all how to use Photoshop, when nobody here had ever really heard of it. Normal folk, that is. In the early days, he says, digital photography, well, it was like magic.
I got rid of the bridegroom from a wedding photograph after the divorce because the bride liked the dress she was wearing and wanted a picture of her on her own. And for some reason, this hit the newspapers, Daily Mail.
Yeah, no, none of us had heard of it, really, Photoshop
time. Right. No, so I went up to Liverpool and I was live on the Richard and Judy show. And their weatherman I made into a Chippendale, which they loved. I mean, Richard and Judy were fantastic. They asked all the right questions. And we did it live with... And now you could do it on a laptop, but then it was lots of computer equipment, printers and things like that.
That's John, our special guest today at 10.
Queen and Crazy Little Thing called Love on the afternoon show, BBC Radio Oxford. Queen, one of the bands that Malcolm Boyden's guest this morning, John Henshall, has had the privilege of working with. You might have caught John from Stanford in the Vale talking about his work as a cameraman and photographer and indeed working on pop videos with many, many household names. He told Malcolm about his first brush with the very famous...
6 weeks after I started work for the BBC,
yes,
I've got Bob Hope and Bing Crosby in the studio. unbelievable. My Auntie May worked in a record shop and she just loved Bing Crosby. And I've still got the 78 records of Swinging on a Star, Going My Way, that she gave to me. And I couldn't even ring her. Well, partly because she didn't have a phone, but my mother, who lived close by, had a phone. But I couldn't even ring my mother because there was no SDD. You had to do it through the BBC operator, and it cost you 6 and 8 pence, 33 pence, deducted out of your salary. So we were, you know, we were working with Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. This, I'm, you know, from the sticks, from Stockport, down to the Big Smoke, and suddenly we're working with these international stars. But if you look on there, it says that hospitality in sixth floor.
Yeah, I see that.
They didn't go to the sixth floor.
No.
They came and had a cup of tea with the crew in the camera store. Can you believe it? Bob Hope and Bing Crosby just chatting to us there in the camera store.
Drinking
it was an
tea.
Amazing start to my career.
I loved hearing John's stories. I could have sat and listened to them all day, to be quite honest. If you'd like to hear the interview in full, bbc.co.uk/Oxford is a very good place to start. Here's Leo Sayer, When I Need You.